Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Just 1 week after the New York Sun met its demise, we have another newspaper obituary today. Rest in peace, the New York Times Metro section. Yes, it's true. If you haven't seen it yet, the practice of devoting an entire standalone portion of the New York Times to local and regional news has gone the way of the dinosaurs. They say it's to save money. But don't look for the automobile section, the dining in or dining out sections, or the Sunday or Thursday style sections to disappear anytime soon. I'm sure their page ones will still be fit to print. But at the erstwhile newspaper of record, Metro Area News no longer warrants solo status with its own page one. B1, it used to be called. Remember? The local news today was relocated, relegated to its new home, page 21 of the A section. No longer will you casually stumble over the big local news stories on their own page one and maybe get drawn in for more. It now takes 10 purposeful flips of the oversized pages, arms extended, to even find any local news. A21. And sorry, New Jersey, the new embedded Metro section also has a new name. The name is New York.
This crisis that has come from America has affected all businesses.
Yes, our problem has spread. On this Monday after Congress passed the bailout bill, did you think you would wake up to find the financial crisis had all been a bad dream? Not quite. The nightmare continued today with the crisis spreading visibly to European banks. We just heard a lot about that on The Takeaway and BBC. That was British Prime Minister Gordon Brown in that clip there calling it an American import. Germany just announced its own $700 billion bailout, and on a much smaller economy, the Dow is down another 300 points already today over here. And there are signs that the credit crunch is spreading from the private sector into government. The state of California is now asking Washington for federal help meeting some of its basic operating expenses, potentially because California can't find buyers for its bonds. Massachusetts is warning it may be next. The state of Oregon has delayed the sale of $15 million in bonds for community college infrastructure improvements. The problem, again, no buyers for the bonds. So we will talk to a New York state lawmaker now about whether it could get that bad here. Governor Patterson has announced another special session of the legislature, the second this year, for more emergency financial decisions. With me now, New York State Assemblymember Deborah Glick, Democrat from Lower Manhattan. Welcome back, Assemblywoman Glick. Hello.
Good morning, Brian.
This California thing is really scary with their apparent inability to float $7 billion of state bonds and possibly needing, possibly, but Governor Schwarzenegger has put out the word to the federal government that they may need a federal loan just to meet basic operating expenses for the state of California. To the best of your knowledge, is New York anywhere near that point?
I don't believe so. I think that California has had a protracted budget impasse this year, which may have frozen some of the market's response, and they've had a very long series of natural disasters that have impacted their economy, many, many fires over the last several months, and I think that they're reeling from a number of things, not just the market circumstance, and certainly they've had their share of real estate foreclosures. The market there, that market has collapsed.
Yeah, really kind of more than their share. They're the epicenter, I think, of a lot of the subprime meltdowns.
Yes.
So California, I don't want to say it's good to hear, but from a New York perspective, it's good to hear that they have some unique challenges. I asked an MTA official off the air on Friday afternoon, after I heard this about California, and he said they don't have a problem with their bonds as of yet. But the commentator, George Will, said on ABC yesterday that he expects all the states to eventually follow California's lead and start asking the government for the same bailout it gave to the private sector. He may have just been being sarcastic. But you wonder if this is going to start becoming a serious public sector problem if states and municipalities and agencies, authorities, can't sell their bonds.
Well, let's be clear. Over the last 8 years, the federal government has divested itself of many of its prior responsibilities. Something like No Child Left Behind, requirements around education and testing, was supposed to come with money, and it never did. So all of the states have been held to standards that they have not received any support for. And that's true in a number of areas. They've withdrawn money for transportation support. And so many basic infrastructure requirements have been pushed onto the states, and that's why people are screaming about their property taxes going up. It's not that they're being taxed less. It's who's taxing them, and the federal government has given tax cuts to wealthy Americans and therefore shrunk its capacity to provide what had been support to the states that the states had depended upon for years. So there's been a tax shift, and the states are the target for that shift. So there are no doubt, problems that are the result of federal policies that have imposed certain requirements without providing the resources that had been promised with those requirements.
Well, that raises the question of what the federal bailout at $700 billion and the ongoing decline in revenues to the federal government is going to mean, in your opinion, for New York State. Because if they're not spending what was promised on No Child Left Behind now, what's going to happen next year and the year after that if they're not coming up with a national solution to universal health care because there isn't enough money today? What's going to happen even under a President Obama?
There's no question that we're going to face very difficult times, and New York State will have serious ramifications from this financial crisis. After 9/11, we determined that 14% of the state's income was earned below 14th Street. And the state, like much of the economy around the country, was feeling the effects of that attack on our country. And our response to that was, this is an emergency, and we're going to have to not only make some adjustments in spending, but we're going to have to ask people to, in an emergency situation, commit some additional resources on a 3-year phased-out plan, which we did. And that was extremely helpful for the state's financial stability.
Wall Street is in your district, isn't it?
Actually, it used to be. It was that was in an earlier incarnation. I no longer represent all of Lower Manhattan. I share that with Speaker Silver.
Is Lower Manhattan, though, feeling, a particular impact, or is this just also global for the region because of the tax revenues that are generated from the investment banks and former investment banks, that it's not really a neighborhood problem in that respect?
Well, I think it's twofold. Obviously, there are a lot of smaller businesses that have been impacted by the reduced employment. They count on that as their customer base. So there are certainly a lot of local businesses, but it is regional and statewide that the impact will be felt. But we still haven't recovered fully from 9/11. There are a lot of building projects, major building projects, that have not been implemented and fully brought to fruition. Although we have had a lot of housing, we haven't had the infrastructure. We have a lot of school overcrowding, and that's going to be an issue about how do we provide those basic infrastructure supports. School space, the real estate market has been very clear. They're building apartments with 3 and 4 bedrooms. They're doing that because people want to raise their children here. Perhaps the administration was viewing that as an opportunity for people to send their kids to private school, but a lot of those people, after they bought those apartments, were sending their kids to public school. And I think after this financial crisis, even more people will be sending their kids to public school. So some of those problems that we've had and haven't been dealt with effectively are going to be exacerbated. But the flip side of it is this is a real opportunity, and I'm an optimist, and I think this is an opportunity for us to look at things that we have been reluctant to look at. Every time we go back to Albany to do budget cuts, we look at education and healthcare because they are the biggest part of the budget. And what we have to do is not hurt classrooms and instruction, but, New York City is one school district. There are a million students, and there's one district. If you look at Nassau and Suffolk, they have perhaps at least two dozen school districts, maybe 3 dozen. And that is a replication of bureaucracies, every community across the island. And that is where we may be able to get more efficiencies and more consolidation of services that would not hurt students. But I will tell you, that is like the third rail of politics in New York State.
So before you go, the legislature is technically not in session again until January, but Governor Patterson has called the second special session of the year now for next month to deal with continued deterioration in the state's ability to get through the present fiscal year, which runs through March. He just called a special session in August, and now he says you need another one. How much of an additional deficit has opened up since then? And if you want to protect things like health and education, where are you going to find the cuts?
Well, as I say, first of all, over the years that I've been in the legislature, we have gone back to Albany many times in the off session. And in difficult times, we've had to make reductions. I think we're probably facing a $2 billion shortfall, and that's substantial. And I think it'll be a question of seeing if there are areas where we can produce the same services with in a more efficient fashion and find the savings in administration and not in direct service to students.
All right. Assemblymember Deborah Glick from the New York State Assembly, with the fiscal crisis looming on so many fronts, talking about how it might affect the state government. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And one of the odd political effects of the financial crisis is that it is now much more possible than it had been for Mayor Bloomberg to get the term limits law changed so he can run for a third time. He officially floated it after a lot of rumors on Thursday, and City Council is debating it today. We'll talk about it in a minute with New York Times political writer Joyce Pernick, who's writing a book about Bloomberg. Stay with us.